It's good to be with you again this morning and be able for just a little while to look at some things we find in God's Word. And I hope that it is profitable for you as we study a few things that come to my mind that are always something that we need to be aware of. Appreciate your efforts this morning. Wonderful singing. Love to be a part of a crowd of people that just love to sing and praise the Lord. Also to remember His death. Enjoy the prayers of the brethren. Appreciate being a part of a group that can do that. We come together and we sing and we pray and remember the Lord's death. There's nothing more blessing, I don't think, than that. In Proverbs 29th chapter, verse 18, there's a very famous passage there that has been used for years, and that it is still a very important passage. I think Old King James, I'll give you first of all, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, or keepeth the law, happy is he. And that's the way it was for many years, and there's a few different translations now. The idea is that if there is no vision, and he's not talking about you and I maybe designing something or having a plan to do something or a vision of how something might be. He's actually talking about a revelation from God. And in the Old Testament, especially when they talked about visions, they were talking about prophetic visions, and that's why in many other translations, sometimes I think English Standard Version says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people will perish. But I was using the I read the New King James. It says it a little different. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The law being the Jewish word Torah, keeping that which was given to Moses and that which we will abide by. So when we talk about a vision, he's talking here, and one of the great things we learn in Proverbs is the idea of us, ourselves, having a vision, but that vision is not maybe the American idea, but it's the revelation of God's Word, His revelation to the nation of Israel, and then later on through the Son of Jesus Christ, to be that person that follows that revelation, who has that vision in their mind. And throughout the Bible, it's talked that way sometimes, from different positions. Acts, the 26th chapter, verse 29, Luke records Paul saying, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Sometimes they would say it that way. That vision that came to me from heaven. Or when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17 and verse 9, he says, now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. This idea of vision being a revelation, something that God has revealed to which we must submit, is very important. A revelation of God, the law of God, our prayer, which is a divine will, is that which identifies us as being His children. When we come over into the New Testament, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and we read verse 1, 2, and 3. He's talking to the Ephesian brethren now. And he says to them, Ephesians 3, verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, the dispensation of the grace of God given to me for you, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote before, or I wrote briefly, have already. In verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Faith is a necessary part of this life, as we were talking about in class this morning. And he's talking about the very idea that most often in the will of God, that faith is an unseen faith. It is a trust in what He says and that only. Like Jeremiah said back in Jeremiah 10:23, he said, it's not within man that walks to direct his steps. And as a result, you and I have a view or a thought, a revelation or a vision in our minds Look with me in 2 Corinthians 4. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. We have a thought in our mind to be guided simply by what God has revealed. Maybe things we can't put together completely. Maybe things we don't completely understand. But nonetheless, being guided by what God has revealed. 2 Corinthians 4, down at verse 18, last verse. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Christians, individuals, we need to have that thought in our mind. Are we walking by a revelation, a vision of the Lord? Do we have that in our heart and mind? And that's the thing that guides us to allow us to walk the way of faith. Every Christian should have stopped and thought about what it means to recognize the vision of the Lord. And our vision is connected to the Word of God. But I want to talk about that as I continue with it, just this idea of need for vision. And it starts with each individual one of us. I recognize a congregation needs to have a vision too, the preaching of the gospel. But I'm talking about us individually. And then as a group, we would have those ideas that, well, there is no vision, the results are always in the wrong direction. Disastrous. And I'm talking again about this vision that he's talking about where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They go in every direction. And he's just talking about if they're not knowledgeable of God's will and God's way, it's not long until they're going in every direction. And we can see that. But the application to us is also an understanding that individually, I must understand, I've got to have a thought, a vision, a revelation in my mind, and that revelation is the Word of God. But all through time, it's been the same way. Hebrews 4, back in the Old Testament, in Hosea, not Hebrews, but Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea wrote back there that my people are destroyed for what reason? For a lack of knowledge. He didn't say a revelation or a vision, but he said they are destroyed because they don't have God's knowledge, his word, his will right there in their minds. And that's the important thing. Solomon was trying to get the people back there to see the most important thing by which you could be guided is the old law, the old Torah, and that was what Solomon was trying to impress upon people. But in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, he tells us in verse 12, there's a way that seems right. And you can just see that all through our society today. What people think is a good idea. It just seems right. Proverbs 14:12 tells us is the ways of death. And we have to come to this conviction of mind. The Word of God is what is right. It's what leads us. The world understands this principle many times when we talk about having a worldly vision, maybe I want to start a business of some kind. I want to see something. If we don't have it, we're not going to go very far in our own business. It's very demanding. We're going to have a purpose. Got to have a plan. We've got to have goals. We've got to have a vision. It just doesn't happen haphazard. There's definitely has to be something that is demanded of it. I don't care if it's a business or a school, a college. If the government does not provide for the defense of the public and safety and freedom, then you're not going to have a government for very long. You're not going to have a nation for very long. There's got to be some organization, and this vision, this idea has to come together. We understand this in the world. But what of us as children of God? As we follow the Lord, God also understood the very need of following a vision. Paul would write, or John would write, having that in our heart and mind. Look with me back in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter again. We read the first couple of verses there, where he talked about when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That when I read this, the writings of Paul, I can understand what he knew about the knowledge of Christ. Drop further down to verse 10 of that chapter. He says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom, multifaceted, kind of like a jewel, a gem, a kind of manifold wisdom of God, might be made known by the church. Might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And all of this according to, as we read verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The vision, the purpose, the plan of God, the scripture of God was to have this idea of man's salvation, and it would be proclaimed to all the world. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. This is what God wanted, and this is something we need to get in our minds. But the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes, like when you read over in the book of Acts, sometimes the Holy Spirit was like, no, don't go over there, go over here. He would be guiding them in a certain place. Don't go to this place, go over here. That's being guided directly as they were on many occasions. But what if God or the Lord Jesus or the Spirit didn't have any kind of plan at all or any kind of vision? Kind of like what would happen if you had a local business that had no plan, no purpose of how we do things. There would be no goals. There would be no agendas. We wouldn't know when we've even done something. And so this idea is, if there is no revelation in our heart and mind about who we are as a child of God, we're going to be going in the wrong direction. We don't understand God's will for us by osmosis. We have to actually open it up and read it and look at it and see how it applies to us. In Galatians, the first chapter, Paul makes this statement in verse 8. And 9, Galatians 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You know what accursed means. Paul was being very blunt. There is something that has to be done, and it has to be done in a certain way for a certain reason. And he said, if it's not, then people would be accursed at it. So all the way back there in Proverbs 29th chapter, is saying there's this tremendous need of a vision of getting the revelation of God into our heart and mind. It starts with the individual. We have to understand those things. And if we don't, it kind of goes in every direction. And that's so important. That's what Solomon, I think, wanted us to see. Let me suggest to you, secondly, if we have a vision, it improves certainly the work and the effort. And if we've got it in our heart and minds as those who are children of God and Christians, and we're trying to learn the Word of God and live the Word of God, imagine what we do together as a congregation. But we're just talking about as an individual of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, and we read down in verse 15, he says, be diligent. Good workman, he said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's something there that I've got to do. I've got to take God, God's word, and I've got to read it. I've got to look at it, think about it, and apply it to myself. He says, be diligent about it. There's an energy there. There's a devotion of framework of disposition of what we're trying diligently to do, to endeavor to make the teaching of the Bible part of my life. God's revelation to man includes the very work that man and all of us should be doing as individuals. And we go everywhere preaching the Word of God. God created us. Look back with me again over in Ephesians, the third chapter. In Ephesians, skip second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. And as we look down, no, I was right the first time. Ephesians, third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. When he makes the statement, for we are created. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. First of all, we are his workmanship. He created us. We became different people by understanding what he would have us to do. He says, created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? For good works. To live a certain kind of life. To, as we were talking a moment ago, maybe teach someone the gospel, to take the gospel into the world. Or in the Ephesians, as we were talking in class this morning, Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we read down in verse 12, it was talking about, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We were talking in Hebrew, the 11th chapter, about faith and what faith is and what it does. Here he's talking about that word that sinks even to the very inner core of our thinking of who we are, what kind of person are we, and that it is a discerner or a judge of the thoughts and the intents of our heart, and there's no creature hidden from it. Vision, having the revelation of God as a part of our thinking as we go about our daily life. We look at the world through the words of God. It improves what we're doing. We become concerned about what are we doing about God's word and God's will. We will set goals for ourselves. We will begin by being an effective student of God's word. Have we increased in our thinking, as we said here this morning? Are we different in our knowledge than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Have we read continually? Become knowledgeable of the world, and let the knowledge of God's word simply be that by which we look at the world. I have friends who read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And so whatever day of the month it is, they read that chapter in the book of Proverbs. And of course, if there's only 30 days, they read two chapters. But imagine reading just the book of Proverbs, the thoughts of Solomon as he recorded those things. And that, not just after a few months, but after a couple of years of saturating your mind with the book of Proverbs, how you would, in a practically wise way, look at the world and the people around you and be able to, in the book of Proverbs, that's not the only one, there are several others that you could do the same way, but just take it and read it and absorb it into your life for what it is. And we can't have this attitude, well, we're just a small little congregation here, we can't do a whole lot. Yes, we can. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, and the church and the congregation he was a member of was in his house. Well, it doesn't matter how small it is. It's, are we doing God's will? Are we taking God's will and making it a part of our life? And take that out to the people. The bottom line is that we won't be getting much work done until we have this idea, this cause of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the studying of God's word, being able to answer a question when we may be asked, is something that has to become a part of our life. And having a vision of the word of God itself in our heart and mind improves our attitudes. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be the great thing. First John, look with me back there. John writes this, 1 John 1. And I think it's down by verse 4. He makes this statement, 1 John 1, verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. But wouldn't that be great in our country today? Wouldn't it be great in just our lives as we face the nation and the country in which we live? John writing in difficult circumstances himself, and yet he could say, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Not a description of our life being apathy or apathetic, that no one cares. We don't want that. It's not a part of our life. Or laziness, that we don't do anything. We don't want to do that either. We want to be someone who is active and walking in the light of the Lord, knowledgeable of the things He would have, or being confused about God, what God would have us to be and do. All of that would change when we simply take a change of attitudes in our heart and mind as to what Solomon was talking about back there in Proverbs 29 chapter. When he makes the statement, happiness would be a part of our life. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 2, Paul wrote, "Make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." If we had Christians together who were studying, people of prayer, people of devotion to God, we would start growing together with a common purpose, a common focus. There would be a morale among brethren who are people of God and enjoy the faith of God and the hope of the Lord. And if we don't have a clear vision about that, we begin to lose our way many times. Like what happened back in the Old Testament when Israel was marching through the wilderness. They lost their way. They took their eyes off the Lord. All of the tremendous power, presence, and promises of the Lord delivered them through the Red Sea out of slavery in Egypt. Led them through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And when he gets to the promised land, they decide, no, this is not for us. And Joshua and Caleb said, what are you guys missing? What is it you don't see? Look at what he did at the Red Sea. Look at what he's done for us at Sinai. Look at what has happened as we have come and been led by day and night. And provided for. And they just lost their sight completely. And it was one of the sad issues, or one of the sad chapters in the Old Testament. If we have the revelation of God, the Word of God, the will of God in our heart and mind, as we're familiar with, I'm not saying you have to memorize the whole Bible, but if we've got that gospel in our heart and mind, it certainly would improve our future just by the way we look at life. Number one, our future is not death. Sometimes we'll say 100 years from today, everybody in this room be dead. Yeah, we will. We'll be on eternity side of life. We will have heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. We're going to have to quit the walks of man one of these days. Can we do that in faith? We're not just people marching to death. And if we don't have the revelation of God, the teaching of the gospel, the vision of the Lord in our heart and mind, there is no vision. There is no sight about what happens after this life. It just seems to be unplanned and unorganized and unexpected. That ought not be the way you and I live our lives. As children of God, we spend time with God's Word and we spend time in prayer and we grow closer to Him. We have a tremendous future, a glorious future with the Lord. And this world is not our home. And we sing that. We believe that. That's what Solomon was wanting them to see. The immediate future in this life requires some vision. I understand that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where my life is headed, what it should be, and despite what other people may think about it, how we live our life, that we live it for the Lord. And think back of the example of Joseph back in the Old Testament. He's in prison, and a couple of people tell them their dreams, and he interprets them accurately. And one of those people tell the Pharaoh about it. Kind of like what happened in Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, the second chapter. The Pharaoh has a dream about seven skinny cows and then seven fat cows, and it comes out of the river, and he doesn't understand anything about it. Somebody says, well, there was a kid in prison that explained my dreams to me, and they all came true. So they go get Joseph, and Joseph begins to explain. Yeah, I can explain it. I know what it is. I can tell you what it is. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. then you're going to have 7 years of famine, and you need to prepare now. We need to put it into practice now, individually as a congregation, but we need to work. And so they started saving, what was it, 1/5 each year for 7 years? I think that's what it was. And it worked. It was that idea of having this thought in our mind. The future is something that we can look forward to with confidence. And if we look at this world day in and day out, we've got our world and our eyes down here, we're going to get disheartened very easily. There's going to be frustration. And yet we're people of faith. That's the thing he would have us to be and to do, is to be somebody who lives like someone who has the revelation of God in our heart and mind, to be able to take the words of God and apply it to our heart, to apply it the way we look at life, to apply it to the way we live. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, this is where it begins. We need to be the right kind of people at the right time. And if you are the right kind of people, if you are the followers of the Lord, and I mean by that a person of tremendous faith, just like we were studying in class this morning in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, tremendous examples of faith, but nonetheless, just faith. If God said it, they believed it. They couldn't see it, whether it was Noah or Moses or whether it was Abraham. They couldn't see it, but they took God at his word and they simply lived by it. And they accomplished tremendous things. You're here this morning. You're not a member of the body of Christ. That's what we extend to people. The gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Jesus said in Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what people have said for 2,000 years. It's what we need to do this morning. And if you're a child of God, maybe you're taking your eyes off of the revelation or the vision that should be a description of the way we think. Then let's come back and let's get back to the Bible and be the kind of people that's described here in the New Testament who are followers of Christ, people of hope. Let not this world get us down. Let us be people of faith and let us walk in the light as he is in the light. You're subject to heaven's call. Would you please come? We stand and sing.